Shall we turn to the scriptures? The first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now I am going to test you. Not on Bible knowledge, though that is included, but on spiritual knowledge. And if I say to you, where is the communion passage in the first book of Corinthians? Turn to it. Allow me to. And which chapter have you all turned? You're wrong. Our brother has started this writing. And here then, beloved, is something which our hearts need to take in. Your Bible knowledge, by all accepted standards, was right. This is the great tragedy, that spiritual knowledge is often far, far removed from it. And this is something which we have to learn. It begins, as our brother has said, in the ninth verse of the first chapter. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, learn something of what this word fellowship means. I know we've already been on it during this weekend, but we're learning more and more. You have been called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now we'll turn to the communion chapter. And where have you turned? You're all afraid to say, aren't you? Chapter 10.
What do you mean by the word communion? So I've turned to the 11th.
Yes. Chapter 10. Verse 15. I speak as to wise men. Judge you what I say, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Now I want you to see what you're saying. Not the cup of blessing which he blesses. The cup of blessing unto which we add and contribute and make a blessing. Alright? We all bless it. Do you? This is the communion. Verse, the bread which we break. Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one body, one bread, one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Amen. Now, beloved, this is exactly what this man says. Before we get to the 11th chapter, see, people, they miss out all the chapters. They go to the 11th chapter. You that know me well enough will tell you that you must not read the 11th chapters until you've read the other 10. We think that God's mad. We select a chapter here, verse, instead of reading that which must come before it in spiritual order, as well as divine revelation. If you don't do that, you will never know these things. Of course, if you know it, you don't need a chap like me to stand up and lecture you about it. But here's the tremendous truth. Before you get to the 11th chapter, which says, this do in remembrance of me. You see, this would have been the thing that they'd all said all over the country this morning. Before you get to the place where you can do it in remembrance of Jesus, you and I have got to do it as the communion of the body. That is, that I make my life and self and all that I am a gift and a contribution to you. I commune myself to you. If this can't be done, sure as anything, we'll never do what the 11th chapter says. Now you may say, I don't particularly want you to make your life. It's Jesus I want. But you're called into the fellowship of Jesus Christ. We're called to be a fellow as he's a fellow. Excuse me using the word. We're in this fellowship. This common ground. I'm the same as Jesus. I'm not your Redeemer. But my substance, by his redeeming grace, is the same as his. And I am bread as he is bread. Because I've been made to partake of that bread. That one and only bread of God. Which came down from heaven. And eating it, I have become one with him. If I do just something which is a service, it's a ritual. We're all ritualists, just as those that chant psalms and swing incense and talk about the mass and wear vestments. We're exactly the same. If this isn't so, oh, I say we're nonconformists. I know. Poor lot, aren't we? That's nothing to commend us. The fact is, you've got to be a conformist. Unless you'll never reach chapter 11. But pray, you say, who wants to eat you? Who wants to drink, as it were, your blood? Don't you want to? We'll go to another communion chapter in the book. And this time we're in the 5th chapter. Verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, even as ye are unleavened. Oh glory! For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Let's keep the feast then. This has got to be a Passover feast this morning. Let the Spirit bring the great truth to our hearts. Hallelujah. Let's keep the feast. Not with old leaven. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. You know what the old leaven is? That great principle of sin. That corrupting thing inside. That leavens a man. So say, I don't want to eat him. I wouldn't want his inward life. I don't want he's spiteful, he's petty, he's jealous, he's mean. Let's leave out the grosser sins. It's Jesus I want. If you can't eat me and find Jesus in me, there's something wrong. We aren't communing this morning. We aren't. It's a lot of nonsense. We're not going to get all exclusive brethrenish and put up stakes and hurdles to keep everybody out, because you'll keep devils in if you do that. But, beloved, here's the truth. You see, and this man, he deals with sin in the members before he gets on to talking about doing things in remembrance of me, as Jesus said it. He says, you've got to be able to commune one with another. Glory, glory, glory. You know, Jesus did this in the great upper room, really. Let's our minds go back. in the Passover feast, he took the cup and the bread. He said, divide it amongst yourselves. See? Go on. So they all shared amongst one another. See? But when it came to the Lord's Supper, he gave them the cup himself individually. Think it out. You read your Bible. He didn't say, yeah, go on, share it out. But he taught them the truth of a shared, one whole life. And beloved, none of us this morning ought to take this bread and take this wine unless the old leaven's all gone, not retaining one little bit. As sure as you train one bit, you cannot confine it to one particle of your being. It will leaven the lump. Sin is a whole. People think that you always have a little bit left. That's what they want to teach us. But they'll never teach me that. None so deaf as God's servants. I never hear that. Glory. That's not the truth from heaven. None so blind. No, I can't see that doctrine. I'm blinded to that. God's blinded me forever. But this glorious revelation, beloved, I see this. That I'm to be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. That's what Jesus said in that Sermon on the Mount. Sure. Nothing lower and nothing less, or else Jesus has deceived me. He's told me something that's impossible for me, and I can't trust him anymore. He's done that. And he doesn't love me. But he does love me. Told me, beloved, that I can have the old leaven purged out. We can all be a new lump. Oh, new bread. Hallelujah. I love new bread. When I was a kid, I used to go up the corner of the street in London. My mother used to say, go and get the bread. And I used to go up to a little baker's shop round the corner. And they used to sell it by weight then. And they used to put the bread on the scales. And if it wasn't quite weight, they used to cut off a little bit and put on the top. And we always called the make weight. I don't know what you people call it. Of course, some of you are far too young to know this. But I used to go up there and I used to eat the make weight on the way home. Lovely bread. New bread. Did you? That's the old London custom. I'm a Londoner through and through. But here's the truth, beloved. We are made a new loaf, new lump. We've got a new leaven in us. We've been unleavened. We're to keep the feast not with the old leaven, but with the new leaven. The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, beloved. Glory. A sincere man. A truthful man and woman. That's right. I, as God counts sincerity by the test of Calvary. For Jesus was tested in his sincerity by the cross. Being quoted almost this morning. Nevertheless, not my will. Father, Father, are you sincere, Jesus? Do you love these people? Do you love me? Yes, Father, I'll die for them. I want to. I just didn't want to be made sin, Lord. I never know what sin is, Father. I never know it. But I'll do your will. Glory. And he was made sin. And he brought that leaven that was working in humankind to a sudden stop. Hallelujah. On the cross. And I can be purged from it. And every church should be purged from it. But I've not got a big stick this morning to purge anybody. Let me kiss your feet, will you? I'm not even worthy to talk to you about Jesus. Not worthy. I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm not doing anything but learning to love as I should. And I want to be true, truthful, sincere, Listen, how can I eat you unless you are? What's the new great leaven that takes the place of the leaven of sin? A leaven of righteousness. It'll work through all the members of your being, taking the place of the law, sin, and death that works in your members. That's right. Hallelujah. It'll work through you, man. Ooh, glory, 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 glory. That we may be alive and instinct with a new life. A new glory. And I can come and sit beside you in a meeting this morning, and I can take the cup that has received a blessing as you've drunk from it, and drink of you as well as drink of my Jesus. That's what it's got to be. All one life here. There's only one body. There's only one blood here. Oh, glory. This cup of blessing which we bless. Why, old Goethe wrote a poem that Schubert had me singing one day. That's right. You know, all leave a kiss within the cup. That's right. Oh, well, it's romantic. Well, you call it what you like. I don't care what you call it. It catches an idea. Often the secular world catches an idea, all right. I'll not ask for why. It wasn't Gertrude Schubert, was it? It's the old English melody, I'm sorry. But this is the tremendous truth. That here we bless this cup. It comes to you, my brother, my sister, this morning. Will you add a blessing to it? Don't leave a curse there. Don't let me shrink. I'll try not to. I'll take the very crust you've been handing and eat it. And say, it came to me through my brother. He loves me. He says, will you share my life? I'd like you to share mine. The king of old got close to it when he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, would to God, not almost, but all of yours, such as I am, except thee. There he was. If Jesus Christ could lay down his life for the sheep, then we could lay down our lives for the brethren. Same life, same substance. Oh, I thought that was meant to be a martyr. Did you? Carries that connotation. But here's the truth, beloved. You should find me as pure as you find Jesus this morning, and as glorious as he. You should find my blood sweet as his. In the spirit, of course. We don't drink the actual blood. In the spirit, you should find the life that's coursing through me identical. Say, brother, let me share it. Let me share it. I speak to wise men. Now you judge. Are you judging? Have I said the truth, and have I spoken to wisdom and from wisdom? You judge. The cup of blessing which we bless. Oh, hallelujah. Bless this cup. Do you do that when you commune? And before you pass it on to the one that's sitting next to you? So didn't know, didn't? Well, now you do know now. And unconsciously you do it, whether consciously and intentionally you do it or not. You mark it with something. This is in the spirit. Nothing counts for nothing. Everything counts for something in the spirit. We're making contributions or else destructions. That's what Paul said when he wrote to these Corinthians. Purge it out, he said, purge it out. You people should be mourning, weeping because there's sin. When he got to such bad sin as that, he had to hand it over to Satan to deal with it. He even got out of the hands of the apostle. We're not discussing that. Thank God we haven't got to. But what a tremendous thing that we should be able to commune. The blood of Christ is flowing in me, brother. It's flowing through me, sister. This blood is keeping me clean. I'm in the light. It's all the time at work in me. It's life in me. It's everything in me. Drink it. I pass on what I have in the name of Jesus. Oh, it's nothing as compared to what his is, but it's something because it's of the same wonderful glory, revelation and power from God. It's in me, brother, it's in me, sister. The bread, but it's only the bread as you break it. I'm glad we don't have diced up cubes here. I'm glad we don't. Let's break it, the bread which we break, not just eat. Let's keep this breaking, beloved, because it will tend to keep the whole thing before our eyes. It will tend to keep the whole truth alive. Amen. Don't let's have individual cups. Don't let's have them. Doesn't matter if I have got a cold and you think you'll catch something from my spittle or lips. Drink it, it won't kill you. If it does kill you, we'll give you a decent burial. If you get sick, we'll pray for you. That's right, all this Tommy nonsense about hygiene and all this business. Who's hygiene? Jesus we're talking about. Jesus, not hygiene. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Of course, the early church were a most unhygienic lot. They all drank out of one cup. With all our hygiene, we haven't got the glorious, vigorous life that the early church had. We are one bread, my brother. We are one body. We are one bread. We are one body. Hallelujah. We're all partakers of that one bread. Is that right? You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Can't do it. That's an impossibility. You can't drink the blood of the Lord and the blood of devils, the cup of devils and the cup of the Lord. You can't be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Hallelujah. And there we go. God has excluded everything, precluded everything. We're in the realm of impossibility. Yeah. What can't be done? Amen. Isn't this wonderful? Glory. We're moving in this great realm. And now turn to the communion chapter. The next one, chapter 11. I know I'm right because the Lord told me all this sitting down there. I've got this morning. You've got to feed on new bread. Can't have stale all those out of the bin. New bread. Now this is the order. This is where I'm Quaker. They believe in spontaneous revelation. I mean the early Quakers. That's right. But Pentecostals is so far better today. They have to have prepared sermons, you see. Which is the best? Ask yourself the question. here we are. We're on this great truth, the 11th chapter. And in the 11th chapter, we have this. I've received of the Lord, verse 23, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Listen, we've got to see that the Lord isn't betrayed here this morning. He did it when he was betrayed. He said, what do I mean? Well, if we don't come along this truth that the Lord revealing to us, we're betraying him. We're betraying his intention, his purpose in the church. It's all revealed, it's in the book. You've either got to be a traitor to him, or else you've got to go through. You're either going to be a traitor to me, brother, sister, too, or else you're going to go through. Do it. I tell you, there's a discipline in this church. There's a discipline. I mean the true church. You know this isn't a recognized church. We're a sort of a mixed up lot. We've come from all kinds of places for this weekend. That is, by the way, we talk about churches. But beloved, we're here. And we're communion. And we've got to be in that place, beloved, where we don't say, so the Lord doesn't have to say, well, they're betraying me again. But nevertheless, I'll do it. He did it, even though he was betrayed. Hallelujah. So that'll give you courage to go on. If you are betrayed, of course, the trouble is that often this thing called betrayal, it only exists in the imagination of the person. The reality, beloved, is this, that we're one bread, you know. Good common substance in the life of God, we're one. In this glorious, this is the fellowship of Jesus Christ. You didn't think it was such a privilege, did you? You can be so in fellowship, called in this fellowship of Jesus, that I can eat you with him. Him as my only and eternal Saviour and Lord, and you as my blood brother in Christ. This is what it's all intended to be. And you see, because, beloved, it says here that as often as you eat this bread, and verse 26, and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And in verse 24 and 25, at the last of the verses, you would do it in remembrance of him. Not now to commune. We've got that all settled. Finally, let's get all this other settled. That we're in the fellowship, that the old leaven's purged out, that we're communing one with another. Got that all settled? This is all basic truth. Now turn your eyes, it's just Jesus. Hallelujah. We're doing it in remembrance of you, Lord. Lord, if it wasn't you, there'd be sin in us, there'd be division among us. There'd be rottenness, there'd be the old vile leaven working. Why, we wouldn't even be here if it wasn't thee, Lord. We do it in remembrance of him. Not only thank him for what he's done for me, but what he's done for thee, brother. Yeah. What the possibility that he's made, that I can live in your heart and you in mine, and we can live as one in the presence and glory of the Christ. This is the fellowship of his Son. Part of it. What a wonderful thing. And we're to examine ourselves, because in verse 27, that if we eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily, we're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But we're to examine ourselves, and from self-examination we're to eat the bread and drink the cup. Not that you should examine yourself and find a lot of sin in there inside, examine yourself and find a lot of bitterness and division between you and brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. But examine yourself and find it isn't there. Glory! Lord, I could eat and I could drink. It's not there. Hallelujah. What's there? Because the church doesn't exist on a lot of negatives. I thought that about him this morning. What a negative approach. He's not a disappointment. I wanted the positive approach. Lord, you're wonderful. That's why I like Wesley. He's positive. Amen. You know where I get all my choices from. You see, you know what suits my heart. Not what he's not, but what he is. We can say, oh Jesus, you're not the devil, you're not this, you're not that. Oh Jesus, you're God. You're wonderful. You're my life. You're my all. Glory. You're everything. You see? That's it. Jesus is my all in all. That's the positiveness of the glory of it all. But we're to examine ourselves. Having examined yourself, beloved, to see that everything's all right. There, it's all dealt with. It didn't say shut your eyes to yourself. It says examine yourself. Amen. And so, let us eat this bread and drink this cup. I turn the eyes of examination upon myself. I am supposed to be able to discern so much in others. I say supposed to. Whether that be right or wrong, by any gift of God, that's not the point at the moment. The truth is, let me look at myself in this. Is there something, Lord, some attitude, some tone, something? What do I say? Oh, I can't commune with you, brother. No, no, I say, Lord, you wash it all away. Glory. God, embrace and love, move in and go and eat the brother that you felt you couldn't eat. Go and drink the sister you felt you couldn't drink. Amen. Say, brother, you're food to me. Sister, your drink to me. Yeah. Is that right? You see? Because if you eat and drink unworthy, you'll eat and drink damnation to yourself. Because you haven't discerned the Lord's body. You haven't discerned the Lord's body at all. You're thinking about just about some one that hung on the cross. You've got to discern the Lord's blood. Hallelujah. I'm part of it.
Glory.
I are you? Oh Lord, you see, it's for these reasons, says the inspired writer, that their sickness, it's for these reasons that their sleep, death, premature death occurs because of this. Weakness comes because of this. Sickliness comes because of this in amongst the saints. You see? Glory. So, beloved, let us love one another. And I suppose we're going to the 13th chapter. Glory. Now, if I'm prepared to eat you, brother, I missed over the 12th chapter, I'm prepared to receive the gift that operates through you. But this is why the gifts of the Spirit don't function properly and aren't received properly, because you can't eat the one that's functioning in it. Something wrong. Or with you. Can't swallow that. Look at their life. You see? See? It's all part of it. Do you see this? It's all part of it.
You've got to be able to drink it in. I know many and many people who, if they give a tongue, they always like a certain brother or someone else to interpret it, because they can trust it. That's true. Why can't they trust anyone else? Something wrong. The basis of it all, beloved, is that we're not in this community. That's the basis of it all. We're not in this fellowship. We might talk about it. You see? And of course, I've missed over with just that comment, the 12th chapter. And I don't think I'll stop on, ooh, look at the time, on the 14th chapter. But just in the 13th, beloved, because it says this. Love. That's all it says. Love. 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 That's what it keeps saying. Love. See, well, when's it going to stop? Well, the chapter keeps saying it more than that. It says love. Love. I'm only a little bit of it. Love. 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 Chapter keeps on saying it, doesn't it? That's right. That's what the chapter says. Amen. Oh, good Lord. What a wonderful thing this is. We're to grow up in this, beloved. We're to really understand what it's all about. We're to move in a glorious and unending manner, for it's eternal, this love, because it's the love of God. Which means seeing that it's placed in people that are growing, that it's a developing one, because it's eternal. And it'll develop and develop and expand, and far from getting exclusive, it'll get inclusive. You see, this is what shook the Jews. When they found it got to include the Gentiles, oh dear, they thought it was ever so exclusive. I've loved you with an everlasting love, but that was only the Jewish nation, you see. That was only these people. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Oh, but when it got inclusive instead of exclusive, they didn't want God then, you see. They didn't want him. They didn't want this inclusive love. They wanted exclusive love. It just reached out and said, there's a chap over there named North. I love him too. Lovely. And I'm in. Cool. Bless the Lord. You know, I eat this. I eat this. I drink this in. I keep drinking it. Don't you drink anything else? More. No, it's all I drink. Keep on. Keep on drinking this. Never stop. Hallelujah. All day long. Glory. I keep on eating, drinking this. I thrive on this. Jesus loves me. Doesn't matter whether anybody else does or not. Much I love. I want everybody else too, mind you. But I can get by if they don't. Hallelujah. That he loves me. And I eat, I eat, I drink. Glory, honest, blessed. Amen. And I would talk in tongues to myself or to the Lord and pray and do a little bit of prophesying to myself.
Yes.
And talk a word of wisdom to myself in tongues. Word of wisdom. Say, what? That's a ministry. Yeah, but he just said, hast thou faith? Hath it to thyself. That's right. Glory. Amen. See? And this is all how it all is. And we build up one another and say, oh, but how do you build one another up? Enough. Well, there it is, you see. Ministries of love. Glory. That the Lord might take us all on into this wonderful fullness. I think we'll eat the bread and drink the wine, don't you?